Boys and girls, nice to see you all again. We're turning to the book of Daniel, and it's chapter 9. The book of Daniel and the chapter 9. We're going to read some verses at the end of that chapter and trust that the Lord will bless us as we look at them. I was thinking of the hymn that we just sung, the last verse of which says, "We expect a bright tomorrow. All will be well. Faith can sing through days of sorrow. All is well." Christianity, Bible Christianity, is the only religion that grants to those who embrace its teaching an assurance about tomorrow. The one who is born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, can say, "I know where I am going when I die." All other religions fall short of that. They say, we hope, we can't be sure, we hope. False Christianity, that which calls itself Christianity but is in fact not, it also falls short. And it only can say, "I hope." But if you are saved today, you know. You share the hope of Job of old. "I know that my Redeemer liveth." I know. It's a wonderful truth, and it was good to sing that hymn today. Of course, the reason why we can be sure is not because of anything in us, but it's because we are depending upon the promise of God, which can never fail. It can never fail. I'm saved because I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." I believe that I have been received by Christ and saved by Christ because of His Word. His Word says it. And that's what gives us confidence. Now that's what makes Christianity, Bible Christianity, I always like to put that word in because there's so many things that pass as Christianity today. But Bible Christianity, oh, it's unique. Are you saved today? Are you saved today? Because it's your privilege to hear the gospel. There are millions and millions and millions of boys and girls throughout the world, and they know nothing of God. They know not the gospel. But you have the privilege of hearing it every day, every day. What a privilege that is. Now, as I said, we're going to turn to Daniel, the chapter 9. Our study in the teaching of the Bible about the return of Christ brings us today to the subject of the Antichrist and the false prophet in power in Jerusalem. We have been looking in recent assemblies at the signs that will tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ will soon be returning to this world. Signs for all to see. Not secret signs, but very public signs. We've talked about the signs that will be seen in Israel. In fact, that sign is already fulfilled. The sign that the Bible speaks about regarding the whole of Israel is the return of God's people, the ancient people of Israel, to the land of Israel. And that has happened. That has happened, and they're still drifting in, if I might use that term, still coming from all arts and parts of the world to find a home in Israel. And God said, "I'll bring my people back again to my land." That's one of the signs. So, one of the signs has taken place that tells us that the Savior's return is getting near. Now, we moved on from there to look specifically at what's going to happen in the city of Jerusalem. In the city of Jerusalem. There are going to be certain events that will take place in the city of Jerusalem that will tell us the return of Christ is getting nearer. Very close indeed. We mentioned last time we were talking about the building of the temple. The Jews are going to build a temple again, and it's going to be in that part of Jerusalem where today the Muslims have two buildings that they count very precious. But somehow or other, circumstances are going to arise whereby those buildings will disappear. That is, they'll be removed. I don't know what will bring it about. Could be war. Could be a real battle in that part of Jerusalem, and as a result of bombing or whatever, the buildings are removed. I don't know. That's only a suggestion, but it's going to happen. There's going to be a temple in Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus returns. But today, we're going to look at the fact that just before the Savior returns, a person called in the Bible the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, all of those titles indicate a very wicked person. In fact, he's also called that wicked one, a very wicked person, the most wicked person that has ever lived, I believe, will rise to power in Jerusalem. The seat of his power will be spread all over that region. He will have the city of Babylon as his business basis, his commercial center. But Jerusalem will also feature very prominently in his regime, his reign. And he's going to reign in Jerusalem for a period of 7 years. 7 years. Now, he's such a wicked person that when he arises, I don't think there'll be any mistaking of him. So that when he arises, 7 years remain. Because at the end of the 7 years, Christ will return to destroy him because of his wickedness. Just as the Lord destroyed the world in the days of Noah because of its wickedness. Just as the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of wickedness. And the Savior says that those events provide us a picture of what's going to happen at the end of the age. And as I say, in Jerusalem, there will arise this man called the Antichrist, and he'll have a sidekick, if I might call him that, the false prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ had John the Baptist go before him. He was the herald of the Lord Jesus, wasn't he? He announced the Lord Jesus. Well, the Antichrist will have someone like that, only unlike John, this will be a very unholy person. And he's called in the Bible the false prophet. So these two personages, two people, two men, will rise up in Jerusalem. So if you keep your eye on Jerusalem, when you see these two men emerge, and you will not be able to mistake them, then you know the time is very close. The Lord gives us this information in order that we might understand that. I'm going to read now from Daniel chapter 9, beginning at the verse 24. These are complicated verses, if you're coming at them for the first time. And I'm not going to try and explain them all today, but I hope that you'll get a grasp of something of what these verses teach. Let's read them. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. This is the Lord's word, the Lord's message unto Daniel, sent to him by an angel. So the Lord is explaining to Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand. Oh, notice that word. Understand. Listen, young folks. God wants you to understand. I've used the analogy time and time again that when you first come into school, if somebody handed you a maths book from the upper classes, you would be, oh, will I ever under... You just would be swept away, overcome. I'll never understand this. And the teacher would have said, patting you on the head, don't worry, you will understand. Gradually the knowledge will be imparted to you, and your little brain cells will operate and work, and you'll gradually get a grasp of that which you now think you can never understand. Well, it's the same with God's word, boys and girls. God wants us to understand, and if you allow him to teach you, if you say, Lord, teach me, then he will teach you. He is the great teacher. Know therefore, verse 25, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war of desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, that sounds so complicated, but I want us just to quickly look over those verses, because I'm going to spend a wee bit of time over the next assembly or so with these verses. I think I should. But let's just go through it again, and maybe we'll discover it's not just quite so difficult. Let's see if we can recognize anything here in these words that we know about. Let's start then. Verse 25. Knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Do we know anything about that? Now remember, these words were spoken to Daniel in Babylon during the 70 years of captivity that God inflicted upon the people of Judah for their wickedness. Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians. But here, the Lord is saying to Daniel, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, if I was going to read about the building of the walls of Jerusalem in the Bible, what books would I go to? Yes, Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And Nehemiah came back from captivity to build the walls of Jerusalem again. And he did it as the result of a command given by the king at that time. So there's something we know what the Lord's talking about. In this passage then, here's something we can understand. God's talking about the commandment to build again the walls of Jerusalem. Go down a little further, and we read in the verse 26, and after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Do you recognize that word, Messiah? Do you know who that's talking about? Any of the boys know? Who's the Messiah? Yes, the Lord Jesus. In fact, he's called the Lord Jesus Christ. And the name Christ is from the Greek form of the Hebrew name Messiah. So Messiah, Christ, they mean the same. The one appointed by God to be the Savior of his people. So here we have a reference to the Messiah. What does it say about him here in verse 26? And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So what's that talking about? Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Yes, Beth. That's right. It's talking about the cross. It's talking about Calvary. It's talking about Calvary. So, you see, this passage is not quite so difficult as it might at first appear when we slowly go through it and pick out the bits that we can recognize. The building again of the walls of Jerusalem. The cutting off of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary when he died, not for himself, but for the sins of his people. Now look at what the angel says to Daniel regarding these two events. Go back to verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Is that not setting a date? Is that not setting a time? This time, this period, here it's described as 7 weeks and 62 weeks. How many are 60? 62, that makes 62. Ah, but there was another figure mentioned here. It says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So it's 7 plus 62. What does 7 and 62 make? 69. So from the commandment to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which had been destroyed by the Babylonians, till Christ was crucified, there was a period, God says, of 69 weeks. Now, of course, when we're talking here about weeks, we can't be talking about a period of 7 days, because 69 weeks, it's only about a year and a half, it's even less. And from the days of Nehemiah building the walls until the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified was much longer than a year and a half, wasn't it? In fact, Nehemiah didn't even finish building the walls in a year and a half. It took him far, far longer. So the secret of understanding this passage is getting to understand what this word weeks means. But I'll have to keep you on eggs until Thursday. Maybe some of you will come up with an answer. I hope you do, because God never, never, never misleads us, misinforms us, or makes mistakes. So when he says, from commandment was given until the Messiah died, was 69 weeks. That is exactly right. We've got to understand what these weeks, this word weeks, means. I leave that with you. And on Thursday we look at the matter again. And oh, I hope that you see how wonderful is God's word and how trustworthy it is. Let's bow in prayer.